Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right, can y'all hear me? Oh, mask. Amen. Okay. So we're coming to you live from the greater Boston area. I'm in a room with my family.
Amen.
We got kids, grandparents, parents. It's awesome. Okay. So tonight is going to be special. Okay. Tonight is not a message from our outline. We're not going to cover an outline, but it's a special fellowship. Okay? So we're just going to talk. It's not a message, but we're burdened. We're burdened for you, and we're burdened, I would say, for your friends. We're burdened for your friends and for any questions that you might come up with. So that's going to be addressed even in the next session. And okay, so does everyone remember the last line of what we just sang? Can we just say that again?
We believe.
Praise the Lord. I'm in a room with believers.
Amen.
But I'm going to ask you, we believe. Okay, what do we believe? Nehemiah, what do you believe? Okay, that's part of what we believe. That's awesome. Have you ever had this question asked to you by a friend, by a family, by a relative? Like, you're a Christian. Yeah. So what do you believe? I don't know if you've ever been asked it. I've been asked it. Sometimes I'm like, like, I don't know the answer, you know? I'm in spirit. So maybe what comes to my head, what I believe. Well, we want to help you answer that question in a clear way. And just be clear about what we believe.
Amen.
Okay, I want to ask one more person. Just give me a, let's see, who can I pick on? Ethan. What do we believe? Like, if I was just a friend, let's say I'm your friend and we're just talking and I find out you're a Christian. And I'm like, okay, you're a Christian. So what do you believe? What would you say?
I believe that God became man.
Amen.
He died for our sins.
Amen.
Amen. Did y'all hear that?
Yeah.
God became a man and died for, that's definitely a major part of what we believe. It's a major plot point. Okay, so to get into this, let's read a verse. I don't know if the brothers on Zoom can throw this verse on the chat. And if we have Bibles here, let's turn to Titus 1:4. Let's read Titus 1:4 together, okay? Quickly, whoever has it, we don't have too much time. Whoever has it first, just stand up, read it, brothers.
Titus, genuine child, according to the common faith. Grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior.
Amen. To Titus, genuine child, according to the
common
faith. You know there was such a word in the Bible? There's a common faith. Oh, I hope you get it. There's a common faith. And what does common mean? Okay. So the word common here is not used in the sense that it's something ordinary or low. Or something like, you know, when something is common, it's like as opposite to like rare, it's just like kind of maybe looked down upon. But the sense here is not that, okay? The common faith is more like common as in widespread or as in general or universal, okay? So we have a general faith with all the believers on the earth. Did you realize there's millions of believers on the earth? And they don't all meet with us, right? They don't all come and meet with us, but they are our genuine brothers and sisters, right? Genuine child, according to the?
Amen.
So it's good for us to know what is the common faith and what is what we'll get into this makes us one. Because you can easily divide. Christians over centuries have divided over many things that are not part of the common faith. They're, you would say, minor points, okay? So the common faith... One reason why we want you to know it is because we want you to be able to answer the question, what do you believe? And that's related to the gospel. How do you present the gospel to someone? And in Galatians 1:23, Paul says something very interesting. He says, one who was formerly ravaging the church is now announcing the faith as the gospel. He says he's announcing the faith as the gospel. So what's the gospel? What's the good news? It's our faith. Our faith is the good news. So if we want to be good at the gospel, well, we need to know our faith. We need to know what it is that we believe. So today we're going to go over, I'm just going to read, we don't have too much time. I'm just going to read some points that are, I want you to see them as the skeleton of our Christian faith, okay? These points, has anyone seen this? Has anyone seen a bracelet like this? You know, a lot of campuses here in the greater Boston area have it. And these little bracelets, if you have one, raise your hand. Does anyone have one on? All right, Nehemiah. Oh, this one's from Texas. Okay, there's one here. Okay, so this bracelet is basically a pictorial representation of the common faith, okay? Just in images. So you can see here, there's a few images that depict the common faith is. And you can say each of these little, so there's an arrow, there's a cross, there's a tomb. Each of these is a like a major plot point in the story, in the divine story, okay? So we need to be clear, because if we misidentify or we misrepresent or we misunderstand any of these major plot points, we run the risk of changing the story, okay? So the story changes. So like, for example, this week, we're in the triune God and the person and work of Christ, right? Okay, I feel bad when I test some of you brothers, but I really want to test some. What is, who was at Penuel last week? Here. Vinny, what can you tell me about the person of Christ, my brother? Stand up. Like, what do you remember? Christ. What are some, our brother gave us some points. Who is he?
In like God, he's the son part.
Okay, he's God. And what else?
He lived a sinless life, but it was just a life like ours.
Okay, that's like his work, his living. What about his person? Is he just God?
No.
What else is he?
He kind of looks undesirable. He's almost like a slave almost.
Is he, he's a man, right? He's, what I'm looking for is a man. So Jesus is God and he is a man. And that's a major point of the common faith. So if you, if someone comes up to you and if your friend, you're fellowshipping, okay, I'm a Christian. And he's like, I'm a Christian too. And then he tells you, yeah, but I don't believe that Jesus is God. Can you feel, is that okay? Is that the common faith? No. So then we should contend for the faith. If it's, if it messes with any of these points that I'm going to read in a second, then we should have something to say about it. But if he says, if your friend says, hey, I didn't grow up. Should you divide and should say, okay, bro, sorry, we can't fellowship anymore. You don't say amen. No, right? Because amen is not part of our common faith. Or if he says, you know, even this. Last night we heard a wonderful message on calling on the Lord. And it, I love calling on the Lord. I've been so helped by calling on the Lord because someone saw it on the word and someone gave it to me and now I see it in the word. But guess what? Not every believer on the earth sees that in the word. So should we divide over someone who doesn't call on the Lord? No, we shouldn't. As long as they are faithful to the common faith, which I will get into in a second, we should be able to just have fellowship. Amen. And be one with them.
Amen.
So the common faith is for the gospel and is for our oneness, okay? You can write that down, oneness. The common faith is for our oneness with all believers. I'll just give you an example of what it's like to not, so a point of the common that would be changing the story is, so in 2 John 7, it talks about those who profess that the Lord wasn't the Christ, okay? 2 John 7. So that's a major change to the story. If you don't believe that Jesus is the Christ, that changes, here I have 8 points, that changes point number three. Point number two, that all of them are God. So if you don't believe that Christ is God, then that changes the story. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says that, believe it or not, there were some in the church in Corinth who started not believing in resurrection, who said maybe, you know, there's no resurrection. So that changes point number five. Christ rose from the dead. So if anyone comes and tells you, hey, I don't really believe that the Lord rose from the dead, then there's a problem, right? But as long as they believe that, there's no problem because it doesn't change the whole story, okay? If we can keep this point, it keeps the story straight, okay? So I'm just going to go over these points in 2 minutes. And this is available for you to download on pursuewiththose.org, okay? So you can get this. And it was handed last week, but I don't know if we didn't hand it out here. So point number one. Guess what's point number one? Who remembers who was in Penuel? I'm going to mention it because it's not. All of the other points are basically mentioned this week in the Summer School of Truth, but point number one is not. So I want to emphasize it. The Bible. Point number one is, what do we believe? We believe the Bible. What about the Bible? That the Bible is the complete divine revelation inspired by God, word by word. As the number one point in our, we believe the Bible and the whole Bible, right? Some people give, I don't know if you've ever seen a Bible that has red font on words that Jesus himself spoke. And some people will tell you, pay more attention to those words, you know, or like, you know, those are more important. Well, actually, we believe every word in the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, we say amen to every verse. Amen. Whether, you know, whether it's red or black ink, we believe the whole Bible. We believe it was inspired by God, word by word. And complete means nothing needs to be added and nothing needs to be subtracted. The word of God is complete. Amen. Amen? Okay, so that's point number one. Point number two is, and all these points have been covered in the Summer School of Truth this week, okay? Point number two is, God is uniquely one yet triune. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And the verse for that is 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God. You can write this down, or you can download this too. Don't worry if you can't get all the verses. Matthew 28:19, in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. There we see the aspect of three. Okay, point number three, God was incarnated to be a man. Jesus Christ. I hope you're so clear that Jesus is God.
Amen.
Can we say that together? Jesus
is God.
God was incarnated to be a man. That's point number three, and that's John 1:1 and John 1:14. Okay? The word was God, and the word became flesh. Point number four, Christ died on the cross for our sins, shedding his blood for our redemption. That's a major plot point in the divine story. Christ died for our sins. The verse is 1 Corinthians 15:3. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Point five, Christ resurrected from among the dead on the third day, 1 Corinthians 15:4. He has been raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. Point six, Christ ascended, hallelujah, to the right hand of God to be Lord of all. Acts 1:9, he was lifted up. Point seven, when any person, this is regarding our salvation, okay? This is what we believe regarding salvation. When any person repents to God and believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is regenerated and becomes a member of the body of Christ. Acts 20:21. Repentance unto God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we believe you have to do to be saved. Nothing else. Repent and believe. If anyone tells you you need to do anything else or anything less than repent and believe, salvation is what? Repent and believe. Amen. And then the last point is, Christ is coming again. Okay? Praise the Lord. And so I'll end with that. My burden is that you would get this into you. So this is the Summer School of Truth. Basically, you know, the wire diagram we've been going over, that's basically these points. And I want them to become yours. I want the common faith. You'd be so happy and proud that it's your faith. You know, when something is yours, can someone give me a pen? Oh, wait, let me get my pen. 1 second. Okay, so I need someone up here. Nehemiah, come here, bro. So how do you know? Oh, man, how do you know this is my pen?
I don't know.
I mean, you don't know this is my pen?
Because you're holding it.
Okay. But you're not so sure that it's my pen, right? It doesn't have my name on it. It doesn't have nothing engraved. Nothing. It's just a regular pen.
I mean, yeah.
But yeah, can you be sure that it's my pen? I'll tell you how you can be sure. If I do this, here. It's yours now. I gave it to you. I can give it my pen because it's mine. Only when something is yours, you can give it, right? See, because it's mine, I can give it to you. But thanks. So when something is yours, You can give it, right? There's no question asked. But if it was, so make this yours. When the same with the word, the same with if someone else, right? If you're not so sure if it's yours, if you're not so clear about the points, if they're not, it's hard to speak. But when they become yours, so I hope this becomes your faith and you enjoy it. Okay, sorry, I went a little over time, but amen.
Well, thank you, Brother Pablo. That was very helpful. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we need to know what we believe. If it's ours, then we can share it with others. So for the remainder of the special fellowship time tonight, we will have a kind of a talk. You could even call it a fireside chat, if you will, on this particular, and we named it this way. We're calling it Walking in the Truth and Being a Channel of Blessing. Okay, so we're going to have a kind of a talk, a fireside chat on walking in the truth and being a channel of blessing. And some brothers will join us on a panel. And brothers, maybe we could start adding spotlight to the brothers who will be on the panel tonight. Okay, so as these brothers are joining the panel, we'll just have some fellowship over certain topics where you will find it's related. It's related and applicable to us today. It's even of interest to us. And in fact, I want to encourage, you know, young people, actually tonight, you might even find some of the things that the brothers will talk about will be questions that you've had actually in your Christian experience. So I definitely encourage you, you know, to listen closely. And even if you would like, you know, to take some notes, you know, in the last page or so of your booklet. Okay, so I won't say anything more. I think we can just get started. I think all the brothers are on the panel. Hi, brothers. It's good to have you all join us. So we'll just get started, brothers. You know, we've been under much speaking of the truth this summer school. Really thank the Lord for that. Very precious. I think sometimes I personally know a lot. And the more I hear, the more I know. But then for what I hear to be real to me is kind of another thing. I think we all have that kind of experience, right? Whether it's real to us or not. So brothers, how can we not just know the truth, but how can we have a living that's grounded in the truth? You know, it's not just we know something, but it's like we live this way. How can we be like that, brothers?
Well, maybe I'll start, Peter. The other brothers can follow. This is a very, very important question and a very good question. The first thing I would say is that we need to realize the truth is a person. It's not just something we believe. It's not a lie. It's not just something that's, you know, veracity, but it is a living person. And we know that from John chapter 8, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. In verse 32 and in verse 36, if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. So this shows us the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is the truth. He even said it in chapter 14 of John, I am the truth,
amen,
the way, the truth, and the life. So this is, we're talking about a person. And this means we need to experience the truth, not just know it mentally, but we need to experience the truth. And this is what John, and John writes a lot about the truth, the Apostle John. In 3 John chapter 4, I love this verse. I have no greater joy than these things, that I hear that my children are walking in the truth. That means that my children, those who believe, that I preach the gospel to, those that I know, are walking in the reality of the Lord Jesus himself. And this is pretty much the same as walking by the Spirit in Galatians, Paul writes. But the point is we're experiencing the Lord, and that experience of him allows us to live a certain way. And I would just end with this. This starts every day. This is not something to. Once you're there forever. This is a daily thing. I don't wake up in the truth. When I get up, I need to turn to the truth, right? I need to turn to the Lord. So it starts with our morning revival, with our morning watch, however you want to describe it. It starts with spending time with the Lord. And I would say the most crucial thing in our practice of spending the time with the Lord is to love him.
Amen.
Song of Songs is a wonderful poetic book in the Bible. And in the first chapter, it says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. I remember the first time I read that, I went, whoa, that's a little too intimate for me. But actually, that's what happens. We need to be kissed by the Lord day by day and enjoy him and love him. And this was the first problem in the churches. If you read those epistles in Revelation, that the church in Ephesus had lost their first love. So that brings in decline and degradation. So we need to, for us to walk in the truth and to be those who experience the truth, number one is every morning, Lord Jesus, I love you. I love you, even though you may not feel it. It may not become a warm, fuzzy thing. Forget about that. Just tell him you love him. That will get you started on the right foot.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. But brothers, maybe I think a question that's common to us is, but what if I can't wake up? I think maybe I speak. I don't know. I'm sure it's not just me, but sometimes it's difficult to wake up. So I guess, how do I develop that kind of morning time with the Lord if I have trouble waking up? Do you have tips to waking up?
I would say the first tip is go to bed early.
I was just going to say that.
Right? If we don't plan to get up early in the morning, and if we go to bed late, it's very difficult for us to get up in the morning. We, you know, as human beings, we need a certain period of time to rest. And actually, you know, we follow this cycle. Our bodies follow the cycle of morning and evening. We kind of shut down when the sun goes down, and we become alive when the sun comes up. But if we stay up late doing whatever it may be, it's going to be very difficult for us to get up in the morning. So this is very practical. It has to do with actually scheduling our time so that we could actually schedule a time with the Lord. And it's practical. If I want to get up in the morning, I need to go to bed early. I've experienced that. If I, for whatever reason, go to bed too late, even though I may have a desire to spend time with the Lord in the morning, if I get up too late and I'm rushing, I just miss the Lord. So I miss a day of being grounded in the truth, being one with him. And then I kind of, my day is kind of out of joint. I just feel out of joint the whole day. So it's not a small thing to actually plan to get up in the morning. And so it has to do a lot with our schedule. Sometimes if you work, and you work like a second shift or third shift job, you know, you just enter into the kind of cycle. And then when you get up, you get up. If it's at 12 noon, then you get up because of your work or your situation. Then at that time, you have your contact with the Lord. You open to the Lord at that time. Anyway, just a little bit of my experience.
You know, I work that shift, Brother Juan. I work the night shift. And so my morning revival for about a year was at like 2:30 or 3 p.m. I know I can't do that anymore. I can't sleep. I know a number probably of you all, no, not the brothers here, but probably a number of the young people are able to sleep that late. But I think the principle really is the first thing when we wake up, just to find the Lord. That was unique for me. To have morning revival at 2:30 in the afternoon to find the Lord. But it was my morning because I was going to work all night long. And one other thing that the Lord reminds me of is my phone. I just realized, you know, my phone, you know, it's kind of like your alarm. So it's by your bed, you leave it charging. And when you wake up, it's just, well, I wonder what happened all night long. You know, who texted me? What kind of notifications did I get? You know, you're ready to start the day, see what happened. And those many times the Lord within is just, just wait, just set it aside. And this is why I think it's very helpful, and it has been emphasized, to have a physical Bible with us. Maybe we have the Bible on our phone, but maybe just in the morning, if we're just going to start in the Word, to have a physical Bible instead of using the one on your phone, because it is very difficult maybe 8 out of 10 times, we will not overcome the swipe down temptation to check. It just happens. You know, we're just there. It just happens. So it's
Yeah. And maybe I could jump in here. Actually, I like this question. And what Brother Juan mentioned, going to bed early. And I just want to add, actually, also how you go to bed. Like, what do you do before you go to bed? And actually, you know, I think we all struggle with this. And I would admit that sometimes I struggle with this, you know, with, you know, devices so readily available. You know, you want to catch up on some news, you want to, you know, read some more emails, check up on the sports scores. And before you know it, you're consumed. And I think today, this age, there's just so much stimulus, right? Mm-hmm. And so you could be on your device without knowing, and it's getting later and later. But you know, do the test yourself. I find that when I read the word before I go to sleep, I get a much better sleep. Actually, sometimes, you know, and we joke around like this, but this is really true, right? Read the Old Testament. Oh, you read the Old Testament, you know, sometimes the Bible puts you to sleep and you would get some nice, good rest. And then you'd be waking up in the morning. And the first thing, I like what Eric said. Yeah. To really, to have something, there ready. And I would say this as well. This is something I shared last week is, you know, your morning revival doesn't have to start, when, you know, 20 minutes after you wake up. But it can start immediately, right? You know, as soon as we wake up, you know, because the spirit is in our spirit. We could tell Amen. The Lord, Lord Jesus, I love you. Right. Amen. When you're brushing your teeth. So I'm the type of person that it takes me a long time to wake up. So first thing I do when I wake up, I can't actually flip open the Bible and start because I'll go back to sleep. So I have to either take a shower or go to the kitchen and make a pot of coffee. And, you know, but while I'm doing that, I'm turning my heart. I'm telling the Lord, Lord, I love you. I give this day to you.
Right.
And then, you know, in this process, actually, we're being revived. Right. And that's the point.
Right.
If I can just add practically to what's been a help to me is even sometimes I feel like I'm busy in the morning or I have to get my day started and I want to honor my time with the Lord. And I have a certain set amount of time, which sometimes is a concept that, oh, I need to spend this much time with the Lord. And then I know that I'll touch you. But sometimes I realize I'm short on time, but Lord, I want those minutes to count. Amen. So I'll set a timer. I'll look at the timer to make sure it starts and then I'll put it away. And because sometimes this thought comes in, you're going on for a while and then you're like, did I start the timer? Is the timer going to go off? But the point there is sometimes you would be surprised of your capacity and just, Lord, I give you these 10 minutes. And sometimes those 10 minutes or those 7 minutes where you just know, Lord, this is all I have. And then I have to run out the door and I have to do all these things. I have to do these calls. But I think just that you've consecrated, you've given the Lord just those few minutes mm-hmm. and then the timer goes off. And I feel like within those few minutes, the Lord will really honor it if he knows your heart and that it's, I'm not going to do anything else. And over time that may increase. We may adjust our sleeping, try and get up earlier, push things back to make time available. But I just think be very practical, be realistic with ourselves and our situation. But it's best if it can be as soon as we get up or else our just mind just gets started and just gets flooded with things. And it just becomes hard to touch the Lord.
Right.
You know, yeah. Eric and I, we work together and sometimes he gets up earlier than me and, you know, or vice versa. And I can wake up to, a helpful text message, but it just turns my brain on because that's how I function. And so what I've started doing is I have an alarm clock. I don't use my phone anymore because I don't want to be anywhere near it. Because Lord, I want you first. Mm. I want to kiss the sun and Lord, I want you to kiss me, but I have to be practical to who I am.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, brothers. That was really helpful, and it was all very practical as well. When you all were sharing about this matter of personal time, I was just considering, you know, sometimes we spend our personal time with the Lord, but we feel like maybe the Lord is still not there, or I still feel down, you know, and I think we've all had the experience where we're just anxious about things. And maybe the anxiety overcomes us in our personal time with the Lord. So all we could think about is what we're anxious about. Sometimes it's having a bad day. Sometimes we're down even for a very long time, and it's hard to snap out of it. I think we all have this kind of experience, even though we try, quote, unquote, all the right things. How, brothers, how have you dealt with some of these struggles, like anxiety or just like your busy mind or things happening in our lives? And how do we get, how do we overcome and deal with some of these struggles?
This is also a very important question, I think, because we all suffer. I mean, especially in this last year and a half, in this kind of an environment of a pandemic, and some of us, maybe you were a college student and you couldn't be on your campus. Maybe you're, you know, you couldn't be in high school, can't be in class. It's all virtual. There's a lot of changes. And it can cause us to get down and even depressed. And I think we have to consider, you know, these things, especially in the environment we live in. Depression is a very real thing. I mean, to me, there's kind of like two types or two areas of depression. One is that we're just anxious, we're stressed, we have so much to do, and yet because of our environment, we get caught up in so many things and we're behind. Maybe we're behind the deadlines, and so we get down about that. And for that, I think we really need to go to the Lord. You know, in Isaiah 9:6, he's called the Wonderful Counselor.
Amen.
He can counsel you when you get down. He can help you when you get down. He can lift you up. We have that verse, he has lifted up my head, you know. He can help us when we're down. And particularly these kinds of, you know, the reason for our being down is because of anxiety, stress, or maybe even, you know, some emotional, your friends are rejecting you, all kinds of these things. With all the social media, we're very aware of what's going on with other people and who's spending time with who. Those kinds of depressions, we really need the Lord. So I was thinking about this matter of the Wonderful Counselor, and also Psalm 23 is very helpful. The Lord is my shepherd, right? I shall not want. He makes me lie down. He's really leads us beside the still waters. So for those kinds of things, that's really, we can come to the Lord. And, you know, if things get really rough, we can go have some fellowship with older brothers or sisters to help us to get out of this kind of low feeling or depression. But there is an aspect of depression by which this kind of thing does not really benefit us that much, because that kind of depression is clinical. It's medical. And maybe Eric can say a little more about this, but because he's in the medical field. But for clinical depression, we need to see a professional. And if you have any thoughts that if you get so low, you think about harming yourself or ending your life, you know, committing suicide, those kinds of things are extremely serious and very real to our young people today. We've lost a few in the recovery in the past couple of years to these tragedies. And why? Because they never sought this kind of professional care that can help. Can get us through. So we do need to take care of not just our physical health, but even our mental health. I thought maybe I just should mention that, brothers.
Yeah. Well, maybe I can just mention something to strengthen what Brother Dennis just mentioned. It's right. I just appreciate in the word, the Lord is the shepherd and overseer of our souls. Thank you, Lord. You know, many times we emphasize our spirit. It's the address of God. But you know, the Lord's address is moving. Well, it's moving day for the Lord. He's moving into our soul. Yeah. So he cares for our soul very, very much. And our soul, we are complicated beings. We're very complicated. It's okay. Right. We have a mind, an emotion, and a will. And there are certain things that may present themselves in our life that just need care in a particular way. And maybe a simple way, just to put it, you know, this matter of stress. You know, one aspect can be there's overexertion. You know, there's some exertion in a number of different areas. But then maybe something I would maybe call burnout, you know, or something that presents itself like a lack of interest, you know, we're just not interested in a lot of things, maybe things that used to make us happy. But maybe we begin to lose an interest in those things. And a big matter, I think there's some R keywords here, is we have to recognize. We recognize, to be honest with ourselves. It's okay to be honest. And maybe just I'll mention 3 points on how to kind of consider or help with some of these things when we realize maybe there's a lack of interest that's a little further than maybe what might be healthy. Sure. Number one is turn to other people. And I hope maybe the other brothers can add on to this. It's good that we are members of a body. And the saints love you, okay? Not just the Lord. They also love you in a personal way. And I really speak this from experience. Find some ones whom you can open to, and they can just listen. And with no judgment, just to care for you, just to listen to how you're doing. Find some. This can be a real help to just open up how we're doing, where we're at. And even they can be a help to realize, well, maybe we might need some more care. And then another one is sometimes, you know, we have to consider maybe we're overstretched in a couple areas and we have to reevaluate some of our considerations. We realize we're doing too much. So we kind of have to take a little pause to kind of consider, why am I feeling this way? Why am I struggling with this? And then the third point is very practical, but three key areas of life are our sleep. Many times when someone comes to me and they mention I'm struggling, you know, maybe I don't feel as happy or I'm losing interest in things. Ask them, how much are you sleeping? And actually, if we sleep too much, that could affect us. And if we sleep too little, that can also affect us. Mm-hmm. Our eating, how we eat, and then also exercise. These are three, I would even say, preventative factors in caring for our soul.
Yeah.
Because we want to be around for a long time with the Lord. So even in caring for our soul in this way, this can be a help. But then when our will begins to be affected, and I think this is just a major point here, when we lose our will to maybe carry out certain responsibilities, even ultimately what Brother Dennis alluded to, even maybe our will to live, then we should really consider maybe we need some professional assistance. Or it goes back to the first point, just open it up for fellowship with some ones who are close to you, so that they're aware and can care for you in a sweet way, non-judgmentally, just to love you. Right. So that touches on this aspect of mental health. I don't know, brothers, forgive me. Maybe I could say a little something about just contacting the Lord. I really even appreciated how Brother Dennis began saying that the truth is a person. Amen. And there's a hymn that I just was reminded of as we were just sharing. This is hymn 285. Come and rejoice with me. I, once so sick at heart, have met with one who knows my case.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
The Lord knows our case. Amen. He has our case file. He has it all memorized. He knows every part of our inward being. He knows all our vital signs, all our labs. He has it all. And then the last line is the best. It says, and knows the healing art. Wow. He knows exactly what to prescribe, how to care for us in a particular way. And even so the real key is to find him. And I don't know about you all. I feel like with the Lord, sometimes almost every morning, it's like we're playing hide and go seek. Where is the Lord this morning? You know, it's not fair. He can see us, but we can't see him. Lord, where are you? Sometimes he's in the name and calling. Sometimes I have to sing to get out of my mind, or you know, it was maybe my daughter starting to wake up. I realized, oh, I better find the Lord quick, you know. Or many times I can really say he's been in the Word, but just a little encouragement about the Word is to eat the Word, how to really pray over the Word. Amen. And you know, just like all you young people, I mean, I think all the brothers here can say, you know, I have struggles with the Lord in my morning. You know, sometimes are just wonderful. Sometimes, you know, I'm not sure if I, you know, what's going on. You know, I don't know where the Lord is. And sometimes it goes on for little bits. And even just recently in the last couple of months, I was just having a little bit of a hard time, just a hard time with the Lord. You know, I would have a set time. I was there in the Word, calling. I was, you know, I had my time with the Lord, but I just felt there was just something short. And I realized I just got into a little bit of a routine. And I realized I was missing, just doing the same thing. And I was missing the person. So I had to stop and reevaluate and just come to the Lord and just say, Lord, where are you? And the Lord reminded me, you haven't been eating me. I've just been studying or even coming to the Word, but my eating, my prayer over the Word. So I just had to literally, almost in a sense, throw everything out the window. And here we go, Lord, new start, new opportunity. Yeah. Let's just, and this is just what I personally have begun to do. Just take two verses of Psalm 119 and to pray them back to the Lord in the morning. And just to spend a good chunk of time just to pray. And this, okay, this verse, okay, this was like yesterday. It was awesome. Okay, I'm going to read all this verse. Okay, this is Psalm 119, verse 18. It says, open my eyes that I may behold. And I just was stuck there on open. I just open, Lord, I open. You know, Lord, I open. Oh, Lord, I open. I open. It just was, you know, I just, wow, just meaning the Lord. And then it says, wondrous things out of your law. Wondrous things. It's just a person. So maybe what I'm speaking sounds so foreign to you because I've been in your chair and I've heard people share about this. And I was like, well, the Lord's real to him, but he'll never be real to me. No, it's possible. Even get with someone and maybe eat a verse and just make it your prayer. Take some juicy verses and just talk with the Lord. Open my eyes and just even cry out to him in the Word, and the Lord will have a way to meet you. And he knows the healing art, how to care for us, how to care for us.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Very good.
Okay.
Maybe I'd like to add a couple things. I really appreciate the brother's fellowship. Wow. What wonderful help. This matter of, you know, the human life, it's difficult. We find ourselves facing decisions that are monumental, that affect our lives. We find ourselves in a pandemic for a year and a half. Actually, as a matter of fact, the mental health of the general population has declined severely because of this pandemic that we just had. So we are part of that population. We are not immune to that. We went through the same thing everybody else is going. But praise the Lord, our God is living.
Amen.
And he is the shepherd and overseer of our soul, and he knows the healing art. And I would say, you know, just from my experience, when I've gone through difficult things, one thing that I learned, brother suggested, just to journal, in other words, to write things down as if you were talking to the Lord. I am not just vocalizing my feelings before the Lord and telling him how I feel or how difficult the situation is, or to help me with the decision that I have to make, but actually write it down and bring these things to the Lord. And as I am writing down, it's kind of I'm pouring out what is in my heart. And that only gives the Lord the opportunity to fill that part that I just poured out with himself. So that's something very real in which we can actually open to the Lord. And then, you know, what happens is because we have the journal, we have the very things that we wrote as we poured our heart out to the Lord, we can come back to those things later. And those things will strengthen your faith when you see how the Lord met you and how the Lord answered your prayer. It's marvelous. So that's just a practical help in that end. Also, we just have to acknowledge that depression is something real. You know, we go through things, and maybe we received some bad news. we are affected by something our, and that brings us down. So we can bring these things to the Lord, and the Lord can uplift us and strengthen us. And I would like to apply what Brother Eric mentioned in the physical realm, which was the matter of sleep, exercise, and diet, to the spiritual side. You know, we are what we eat. And invariably, I observe it in myself. You know, if I give ground to things of the world, if I just watch things, you know what happens is I get deadened because I'm taking junk food into my being. And then my spiritual metabolism is sluggish and I have no appetite for the things of God because I've been feeding in other things. So our diet is very, our spiritual diet is very practical. It determines our spiritual health. Yeah. The same way I appreciate our brother's help to pray the word, to learn. You know, sometimes we just don't know what is to pray read. We all have to find out what is to pray read for ourselves. You know, the brothers may tell us this is pray reading this way, but just ask the Lord, Lord, here I am. I have 5-8 minutes. Teach me to touch you while I'm reading the word. I want to pray, read. I want to touch you. I want to know what it is to touch God. The brothers talk about touching God. Anyway, these are the kinds of challenges the Lord likes to hear. Yeah. When we come before him and we want to touch him. So anyway, also I want to share a small experience, very practical experience. I was teaching at the full-time training in Mexico, and I was having a lot of pain in my back. So I just talked to the brothers, and they took me to a sister who is a doctor, a medical doctor, and she also does some acupuncture and so on. And I just had a she said that she wouldn't see me unless she would have a picture of my back. You know, both my neck and my back. So we went and got that done. And we found out that the curvature of my cervix here is opposite what it should be. And then she started to ask me questions. And in a very pointed question that she asked was, do you get depressed? You know, and I had to search and tell her, okay. Yeah. And then she said, this curve, the way you have the curvature of your neck, it will cause that. So anyway, she did something to help and whatever. But anyway, just to point out to you something physical, just like, you know, an injury of your neck can affect your mood, can affect how you feel. That's just something physical. But there is also chemical imbalances in our brain that need to be helped. And there is no shame in realizing, wow, there is something that I am missing. That is something is not right. And all we're trying to bring forward for your consideration is, if you feel this way, bring it up with somebody. Don't feel hopeless. There is always hope, brothers and sisters. Okay, I'll just stop here.
Amen. Thank you, brothers. That's really helpful. I was thinking, you know, you all mentioned this matter about reaching out for help. Maybe just kind of like the last question and kind of this area is how do we know who's the right person to open up to? I think this is a question that a lot of us, you know, face. It's like, maybe I have 5 serving ones in my locality, you know, which one do I go to? You know, I don't know if I like all of them, but like, and I don't want to tell my parents, maybe. I don't know. You know, it's just a lot of consideration. So who's the right person, brothers? You know?
Excellent question. I'll just share with you a little experience I had. I had something very troubling that was happening in my life, and I knew I had to open it to somebody. I knew I have to open this. I have to open it. And I asked the Lord, Lord, who should I open this to? I asked the Lord, Lord, who should I open this to? And then the Lord responded to me right away. He gave me a name. And then, you know, I'm like Gideon, you know. I said, Lord, if this is you, you have to do this for me, you know. So I said, Lord, I'm going to go to the cafeteria this morning. And at this time, and if that brother walks in at that time, I know that that's you. And then I went to the, you know, to that cafeteria during that time. And then at the very same time that I asked, you know, that I told the Lord, that brother walks in. And I just realized, okay, I have to open. So anyway, I just went over there and I just told the brother this whole story. But it was very precious that, and you know, and I really received the help that I needed at that time. But the first thing was to ask the Lord, Lord, to whom do I open this matter? It was a serious thing. I couldn't have opened it to anybody, but I did look to the Lord, and the Lord gave me a name, and the Lord confirmed it in something hour. That's just an experience.
Yeah, I've had similar experiences in my life. Just different things have come up, and I think a little bit like Brother Juan, it's been Lord who, but I would say initially, a lot of times I would just go to my friends, whether they were so, you know, necessarily a spiritual companion. You know, I grew up with some brothers that I was close to and still am. But I wouldn't always say we were the most pursuing at times. So I'd go to them and they'd understand, and maybe we would commiserate together. And it was good that I didn't feel judged, but I'd still walk away kind of empty and still like, Lord, my question isn't answered. Like there's still this kind of pang in my being. And and you kind of go on, you bury it. And it really took me some time, but I remember it actually took me fellowshipping with some different ones. And actually I was eventually led to fellowship with an older sister, you know, and it was not someone I ever thought I would, but I actually went and fellowshiped with another brother. And I said, I have a feeling to fellowship with this person because I believe they'll understand my situation. And what was good is when I fellowshiped with this brother, he didn't ask why. I think he just kind of understood. He said, yeah, I think you should, because he knew a little bit of my situation, but not fully. And for me, it was kind of trial and error, and also just fellowshipping in the body and not feeling like I have to open up everything right away. And even the first time I eventually went to that sister, it took a little time, but you know, I think I was just hesitant. I was like, can they handle everything I want to say? But it's not, you know, I think we need to do what Brother Juan said, and we need to bring it to the Lord, because I think he really wants us to fellowship. And that even they may encourage us at different times to go seek even further help. If they are that person, it's, you know, I remember just one time with a brother, I was sharing something and I was touched so much, because at one point, because of in our fellowship, I said something else. He said, forget what I said earlier. And that just showed he was really paying attention to my situation. He wasn't trying to get the right point across, but that he said, retract what I said, because I said something else. I said something further. And I knew that they have my best interest in mind. And so that only just kind of came through experience and finding, do I really feel comfortable with this person and opening the situation? And do I feel that they have an understanding and an ability? And if their capability and capacity runs out a certain point, will they be honest to direct me and to care for me in the best way? You know, so when I've interacted with ones like this, I've just felt shepherded so much. So I don't have a clear answer, but I think for me, it's just kind of you try a little bit, but really seek the Lord at the same time.
Amen.
Maybe I can follow Curtis real quick. You know, I also grew up in the church life, and I think when we talk about fellowship, sometimes, you know, when you're growing up, you think fellowship is to go and ask for permission. Like, I'm about to graduate high school. I need some fellowship, or, you know, you want an answer. But I would say over the years, you start to see a greater picture, what fellowship really is. And it's very unique within the body of Christ, because we're all members and we're all related. And there is this divine flow, right, that passes through one member to another and brings us all under the head. And so sometimes fellowship could just be like, you know, inviting yourself to a saint's home, you know, and just no agenda, you know, or going out to, you know, get some coffee or boba or, you know, whatever. And just to learn to fellowship. and I think, you know, fellowship, actually, it's something we need to learn as young people. And not to wait until, oh, there's a crisis, right? Oh, there's this, I want to get married, Brother Dennis, I need some fellowship. but, you know, if we learn, right, just how to be a member in the body, right, and to enjoy this wonderful thing called fellowship, I think the Lord will lead us, right, when we do have these specific problems. Oh, maybe you should, you know, go to this brother or go to this sister. Anyways, I just wanted to add that small point.
Amen. Thank you, brothers. Maybe for our last 10 minutes or so, you know, we could kind of make a turn this way, which is, you know, I think some of the things that we discussed was definitely not just, you know, our something that happens to us. I think even those in our family and even, you know, friends at school, coworkers and so forth, with, you know, with even with the pandemic kind of where it is right now and having gone through a year and a half of it, and even many of the schools are being reopened, I guess how can those around us, you know, receive benefit from this kind of talk? You know, I think many of them don't have this kind of talk, and how can we help others to go help them go through what they're going through?
Yeah, I'll start on this one. In the book of Genesis, Abraham, you know, Jehovah told Abraham that he would make of him a great nation. And he told him he would bless him and he would make his name great. This is in Genesis 12, verse 2. And then the last phrase is this phrase, and you shall be a blessing. You shall be a blessing. Not I'm going to bestow blessing. But you, Abraham, shall be a blessing. I'm going to bless you, but you then need to be a blessing to others. Of course, then in the New Testament, we find out that the blessing to Abraham was the promise of the Spirit, but still, Abraham was to be a blessing. And I think this is something that we're burdened for, young people, for all of you, that you would be a channel of blessing. And we have a hymn, 268, which is Channels Only, Blessed Master. But in verse 2, it says, just a channel full of blessing to the thirsty hearts around, to tell out thy full salvation, all thy loving message sound. Of course, this is referring to the gospel specifically. But it's not just the gospel specifically. It's just a blessing to all those around us. And I was reminded of this story in Genesis. I don't know. I'm going to read you some verses from Genesis 39. You know, Joseph, all the children of Israel were taken to Egypt, and Joseph was serving, right, in Egypt, and Joseph found favor in his sight, and he ministered to him, and he made him overseer of his house and put all that he had in his charge. You know, Joseph interpreted this dream for Pharaoh. He said, you need to take care of this, take care of that. Because a famine was coming. So Pharaoh put him in charge of Egypt. And then verse 5, and from that time, he made him overseer in his house and put him over all that he had. And this is the phrase, Jehovah blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. And the blessing of Jehovah was on all that he had in his house and in the field. So the Lord blessed the Egyptian because of Joseph. And this is our burden. We want you to be a blessing to all those around you. First of all, we want you to be a blessing to your family. if you're enjoying this marvelous Christ who is the truth, and you're learning how to walk in the truth, then I think the Lord will deliver us from being too self-centered, which is not a blessing to our family. But we'll not be caring for ourselves all the time, and we'll want to take care of others. And so we could be a blessing to our family. You know, I got some help from one of the from a prophecy one, you know, last year, and they mentioned about this is one of the gifts of the Spirit is helps, to be a help, right? And so this was a wife who said, it's not a help when you come into the kitchen and say, what's for dinner? And I'm afraid that's what I do nearly all the time, okay? It said, what is the help is if you come into the kitchen and say, how can I help you, dear? And that's a blessing. So I've started to turn, you know, and to change the way I approach dinner time in my house. But the point is that we would be a channel of blessing. And to our family, the main thing to me is not to be self-centered, but to think about others and what is the need? How can I help? How can I, you know, what can I be a benefit? But then, as Peter mentioned, we can be a channel of blessing to our, not just our family, but to the church. By what? By serving in the church. And I'm very encouraged by the juniors and seniors and the college students who've been serving in the summer school. Brothers, I don't know if you agree with me. I just think they've been a great blessing to all the other students, yes, to the young people, just by serving, not taking care of their own needs, not worrying about their own thing, but just serving and taking care of the needs of the service in the church in the summer school. And then eventually then you become a blessing to all your classmates at school. This is going to be a very particular school year, young people. I don't know what the percentage is. I don't know how New Jersey's handling it, but right now everyone's going back to class in September. School is going to be in person. And so everybody's going to be talking, what have you done? How has been your last year and a half under this pandemic? We've all been virtual. People are going to be asking, they're going to be talking, they're going to be, you know, can you be a, will you be a blessing to them? And by that, I mean, if you're walking in the truth, if you're enjoying the Lord and you just testify, you know what? It wasn't so bad because I was going the Bible. I was enjoying God's word. That is the gospel to your friends. That will speak something to them. Your living will be a blessing to them, a channel of blessing to them, because you're not reacting the way everyone else is reacting, because you have Christ and you've been enjoying this Christ who is the truth. Maybe I'll just say that much.
Amen.
In Acts, the first chapter, you know, when the Holy Spirit came forth, the believers there, they it says that they were witnesses, right? First to Jerusalem, then to Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the earth. And I think this is significant because, you know, Jerusalem is where they were, you know, the area where they were. And then Samaria, which is a little further, and then the uttermost parts of the earth. And so, you know, to testify or to walk in the truth means that there's something real, right? And you're expressing it. It's the same as being a witness, right? And so if we're really enjoying the Lord and this is really becoming truth, right? Becoming our reality in our daily living, actually our family would receive the blessing first and foremost, right? They would see it. They would sense it. They went, wow, there's a certain expression there. And then of course, then the church, the saints, right, that you're part of. And even eventually, right, even our friends, you know, we can testify these things to them. But I just realized that, you know, this thing that we're passing through is very sovereign, right? I think, you know, the amount of time that we're spending with our family is never than before. And maybe this is what the Lord wants to work out, you know, and I think growing up in the church life, there was always this discrepancy. And, you know, I really, you know, I had a lot of struggles with it. You know, you're one way at home, and then you're one way at school, and then you're one way in the meetings. And it just felt like, you know, this is not right. But I just feel like, praise the Lord for the summer school of the truth, right? Where all the young people, you all could receive the help and the benefit to be truthized. I don't know if I could say that. And I believe our family would receive the help first. Just a quick testimony, and this is actually a failure. You know, tonight, you know, my kids, you know, very rowdy, and I lost my temper. Not in, you know, a serious way, but you know, there was certain an expression that was not divine, right? And I just had to be before the Lord, and I realized I needed to apologize, right? I wasn't expressing this Christ that is within my spirit. And so I just feel like, brothers and sisters, we can't let the little things go, right? In our family life, you know, maybe something happens, you know, we need to deal with it. We need to take care of it. We need to honor one another, right? We need to regard one another, love one another. All of this, right, is really a testimony, right, of the wonderful triune God that lives within us. So anyways, I'll stop here.
Amen.
Thanks, Brother Juan, you're muted.
Sorry, Saint. I just would say one quick thing, and that is, you know, we are branches in the vine, and all the Lord requires of us is to abide in Him, and then He abides in us. So it's not, we're not asking you to do something or to muster up something, but I believe it's very sovereign that the summer school is this time in August, and school is coming up pretty soon. There has been a lot of deposit into you in this couple of weeks, and I believe the Lord has been real to all of you. And that is the reality that you testify of. Yeah. If you continue in this way of the truth, when you talk to your friends, there is reality behind it. There is truth behind that, and that is attractive. You know, the Lord in the Old Testament is called the desire of all the nations. Naturally, everybody desires to have Christ. They just don't know it. But when they see it, they take it, and it's attractive. So I just will leave it with that. Go ahead, Bruce.
I just would like to just say something about our family. And the verse, we talked about it a lot this past spring conference, but is Malachi 4:6. And He will turn the heart of the fathers to the children and heart of the children to their fathers.
Amen.
And this is impressive because this is the last verse in the Old Testament. This really is striking to me. And I just want to say this, that the family we've been placed into is very important. I feel that I didn't appreciate it at a younger age. I'm the youngest, and I always had my older siblings as patterns, as ones to care for me. And my childhood has long passed with my siblings, but I've begun to thank the Lord more and more for my family over the years, because I realize He has placed me for a particular reason in my family. And that, you know, this is kind of a word maybe that we would keep in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's not always right now, but actually, you know, we'd be surprised that even though we may be quite different from our siblings, from our parents, actually, we may be the best ones to shepherd them because we know them so well, and yet it's so hard. I just want to say, like, even in the last 5, 6, 7 years, it's been an endeavor before the Lord in fellowship with many saints. You know, Eric, he knows, we've prayed again for my relationship with my family members. And what I've come to find out a lot of times is it's not always me trying to do so much, but I appreciated what was mentioned is, how can I help you? Not how can I make you better in the way, you know, to do this and that, but how can I come and help? I have nieces and nephews, now, and I've just realized I'm trying to stop doing so much, but that I would just be before the Lord. You know, I would just take time to have the personal time. I think going back to the beginning of our fellowship tonight, but that we would take care of our relationship with the Lord, and He would lead us to take care of a relationship with our parents. And even if we can at a young age, endeavor, I would say, especially with our parents, endeavor to have a godly relationship with them, to pray with them. This is something I'm still endeavoring to do. I'm much older now, but I wish I learned at a younger age, because as I've begun to taste it, how I long that I had this years before. Mm-hmm. So may we just thank the Lord for placing us in our family, whether we realize that now or later, and continue to take care of our relationship with the Lord. I think He'll really shepherd us through these times.
And just to confirm that, you know, with our parents, it probably, I mean, for the, you know, your parents love you more than anyone else in the world, except for the Lord. Okay, the Lord loves you most, and then your parents, but they love you so much, and their heart, I'm sure many of our parents, you know, I grew up in the church life, many of our parents are maybe in, you know, believers, their heart is for you to go on with the Lord, but they know that we're, you know, we're teenage, you might be a teenager, and you don't want to respond to what they're going to say. So they're going to be very careful with what they mention about the Lord. I'm speaking this from my experience. My parents, they just wanted to be careful. They didn't want to push me too much in this direction and then push me out this direction. And so they were, you know, kind of tiptoeing around of a lot of subjects about the Lord for a number of years, until I had a turn, and it was really, you know, kind of my senior year in high school where I finally opened up and prayed with my parents. And let me, it was a game changer. I mean, it was my, it just has been so sweet in our home to be able to pray with my dad and my mom about like anything, you know, and anything. That's like the first one. Hey, can we just pray? And it's just been so, so precious to have that kind of a relationship, because I know they love me and they know me the best. Amen. Out of any. I'm
grateful for that. Amen. Well, thank you, brothers, for the fellowship tonight. May the Lord strengthen all of us, saints, to walk in the truth and to be channels of blessing, whether at home, whether in the church, or with our friends at school.